Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
The New York Times yesterday endorsed both Senators Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar. What? You can't! I don't know. You can't pick both. That's like endorsing Coke and Pepsi, and I think we all know which one's Pepsi.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actress June Diane Raphael. Plus, June sticks around to answer a few more questions backstage at Studio AG. But first, a closer look.
As he faces only the third Senate impeachment trial in history, the president is desperately trying to soothe his ego and pretend he doesn't know the key players in the scandal. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. In the last week, the impeachment trial against President Trump has been rocked by a series of bombshell revelations from one of Trump's key henchmen in the Ukraine scandal, Lev Parnas. Remember him? The guy who looks like a piñata, but for crimes? The guy who looks like a Soviet version of the sad face emoji? A man who, no joke, had a company called Fraud Guarantee, and based on how things have gone, it turns out he is a man of his word. The revelations began with new evidence released by the House that included Parnas' handwritten notes about Trump's scheme to force Ukraine to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. The notes made it incredibly obvious, in case there had been any doubt before, that Parnas was at the center of a corrupt plot designed exclusively for political and financial reasons and involving several of Trump's closest allies. The notes include incriminating phrases like, get Zelensky to announce that the Biden case will be investigated, do my magic and cut deal, get deal done in 1 to 3 months, and the ambiguous phrase, Ukraine ledger. The only way these notes could be any more suspicious is if the letters were cut out from magazines. These notes look like clues James Bond would find in an underground lair right before he turns around and sees Christoph Waltz dangling Joe Biden above a shark tank. Ah, James, you're probably here to rescue your old chum. And then, after all of those notes, there was one other note that referred to Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, the man at the center of this entire scheme, with just the word Rudy and two asterisks. These guys are so dumb, they literally wrote down the names of their co-conspirators. This is like if Al Cowlings had put a sticker on the inside of his white Ford Bronco that said OJ on board. And yet, as incriminating as these notes would seem, Trump supporters have gone to extreme lengths to dismiss them. For example, Fox host Laura Ingraham said they were meaningless.
We got these notes of, like, scribble scrabble on a Ritz-Carlton Vienna notepad, and we're supposed to all think, oh, the Democrats have a smoking gun.
First of all, you're accusing someone else of scribble scrabble. Donald Trump can't even sign his own name. If you didn't know, that is the president's signature. If you looked at it for the first time, you'd be like, I guess that's a prescription for, I don't know, Percocet? Second, these are notes on a Ritz-Carlton Vienna notepad. The Ritz-Carlton Vienna sounds like the setting for literally every spy movie ever made. They probably have tranquilizer darts in the minibar. Without looking it up, I can say for certain there's at least one Mission Impossible movie where Tom Cruise parachutes out of an airplane and crashes through the windows of the Ritz-Carlton Vienna. Except in this sequel, he crashed through the window in the first 5 minutes and find a note that said, here's our plan and how to stop us. The movie is over now. Then, of course, there was Parnas's bombshell interview with Rachel Maddow, where he confirmed all sorts of sordid details, including the fact that Trump was willing to withhold all aid to Ukraine unless they specifically promised to dig up dirt on Biden. Yet still, Trump allies in the Senate have basically decided to pretend it didn't happen, like Martha McSally, who made a big show of attacking CNN reporter Manu Raju simply for asking if she thought the new evidence offered by Parnas should be included in the trial.
Senator McSally, should the Senate consider new evidence as part of the impeachment trial?
Man, you're a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you.
You're not going to comment, Senator, about this?
She might as well have said, I'd like to speak to your manager. This one moment shows just how deeply and fully the Republican Party has become the party of Donald Trump. All that reporter did was ask a simple, straightforward question, and she accused him of bias. I feel like this isn't the first time she's reacted like that either. You know what? You're a hack. Okay, ma'am, but you still have to pay for extra guac. And then, of course, there's Trump himself, who denied ever knowing Parnas, despite the fact that Trump has had at least 10 separate interactions with him and has been in multiple photos with him. In fact, Trump brushed off.
What is your response to Lev Parnas, who says that your efforts in Ukraine were all about 2020? You just wanted Joe Biden out. What's your response?
Well, I don't know him. I don't know Parnas, other than I guess I had pictures taken, which I do with thousands of people. He's trying to probably make a deal for himself. I don't even know who this man is, other than I guess he attended fundraisers, so I take a picture with him. I'm in a room. I take pictures with people. I take thousands and thousands of pictures with people all the time, thousands during the course of a year.
Okay, it's true that you have photos with lots of people, but you also have photos with lots of criminals. You have photos of Michael Cohen, who's now in jail, and Paul Manafort, who's now in jail, and Kid Rock, who at the very least should be in fashion jail for those American flag pants. Trump is lying because he knows that he's only the third president in history to face a Senate impeachment trial. His name and presidency will be stained in the history books forever, regardless of what happens, which is pretty remarkable given that just a few years ago, he was mostly known as the you're fired guy. I mean, this is like if the can you hear me now guy got arrested for burning down a Verizon store. You'd realize, oh, now I know why he switched to Sprint. No matter how hard Republicans try to rig the Senate trial to let Trump off easy, the mark of this historic moment will never go away, and that's something Trump is very obviously aware of, because last week, as the House voted to officially transmit the articles of impeachment they had passed in December to the Senate for a trial, Trump freaked out on Twitter.
He asked, why should I have the stigma of impeachment attached to my name when I did nothing wrong?
In all caps, he tweeted, quote, I just got impeached for making a perfect phone call.
I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about the stigma of impeachment because you have so many other stigmas. I mean, sure, you're only the third president to get impeached, but you're the first one to bail on an umbrella and just leave it outside an airplane. And I'm going to remember that more than the impeachment thing. Second, nothing says perfect phone call like shouting at the top of your lungs. If you're someone who tweets in all caps, you're not making perfect phone calls. Besides, we all know the only perfect phone call is when someone calls you up to cancel dinner plans. Oh my God, we don't have to leave the house. That was perfect. And apparently Trump's rage isn't confined to Twitter. CNN reported over the weekend that Trump has been shuffling around his chintzy resort in Palm Beach, grousing to club members about how unfair it is that he's facing an impeachment trial.
A source close to the White House saying President Trump has appeared distracted by the impeachment trial, telling people around him at Mar-a-Lago he can't understand why he was impeached.
He is a bit distracted by the ongoing impeachment saga. He's apparently asking people around him, why are they doing this to me?
Donald Trump not knowing why he is impeached is in itself an impeachable offense. Why are they doing this to me? Well, here's a 300-page document laying it out. What? No, I don't want to read that. Why? Why won't they tell me? So, Senate Republicans are obviously intent on rigging the trial as much as they can. But no matter what they do, the trial itself is a significant historic judgment on its own, because in our current manic news environment, everyone's memories are fried and nothing ever really seems to stick. Remember when Trump tried to fire Robert Mueller, or when his administration made up a fake terrorist incident called the Bowling Green Massacre, or when Trump literally shoved a fellow NATO leader out of the way so he could get to the front of the group? I mean, look at him. It's like he heard there was free food in the conference room. Looks like he's at a wedding trying to catch the bouquet. Go away, Melissa. You've already been married twice. So knowing that this historic mark of shame will follow his name in the history books forever, Trump's been in desperate search of ways to soothe his ego. So desperate that at an event in the Oval Office last week that was meant to promote prayer in public schools, in front of him on the Resolute desk was a map that appeared to divide the country into a red-blue map based on the 2016 election results. Basically, they gave him that map the way parents give their kids a maze and crayons at a restaurant. They actually should give him a maze, but one where he learns something. But the weirdest part of this charade was the fact that the map just sat there on the desk, unmentioned, for the entire event. Trump never talked about it. It was just there to entertain him and make him feel better. They might as well just have it printed onto a blanket so he can carry it around Linus style. Not only was the map weirdly conspicuous for an event that had nothing to do with the election, apparently it wasn't even correct. While the map appeared to be very red, an emotionally reassuring symbol of his popularity, Twitter sleuths quickly determined it wasn't entirely accurate. Some counties that went for Hillary Clinton were colored red. Trump's literally just changing the electoral map to make himself feel better now. Why not go all the way and include the rest of the world? Look, everyone, I also won Greenland, Turkey, and the Caspian Sea. Thank you, Caspia. Thank you, Caspian people. So Trump faked an electoral map to make himself feel better and then conspicuously laid it out on the famous Resolute desk, hoping people would notice it. That is insane. It's like you went over to Steven Seagal's house and he had a shelf full of Oscars, except they were just a bunch of Ken dolls painted gold. I won this one for Submarine Justice 2, Operation Killer Seal. It's where I delivered the famous line, hi-ya! Trump knows that ultimately, in the eyes of history, it won't matter whether Republicans successfully rig his impeachment trial to let him off the hook. No matter what, he will be only the third president in history to face such a trial, and it follows him forever, especially as more damning evidence emerges. A few years from now, when they're asked about where they stood on the presidency of Donald Trump, I have a feeling a lot of Republicans will say,
I don't know him.
This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest is a very funny and talented actress you know from TV's New Girl and movies such as Long Shot and Blockers. She stars in the sixth season of Grace and Frankie, which is now streaming on Netflix. Please welcome to the show, June Diane Raphael, everyone. Hello. It's nice to have you back in New York. You lived here for a long time.
Yes.
And I know you love coming back in January.
It's the perfect weather.
The perfect time.
It's a great time to not wear pantyhose.
You were in Mexico, though, for a birthday.
I was.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I too much.
Okay.
I enjoyed myself too much. I had too many margaritas.
Yep. Happens down there.
My husband always says I'm one margarita away from throwing away everything that's good in my life. Everything that I've worked for, one margarita will just...
Got it.
Yeah.
You had a... These are some photos. Will you tell us what you're doing in these photos?
Rather not.
Okay. It seems like you are lifting up a man.
A gentleman.
Yeah. So, do you know this man?
I've never met him until that moment.
I think this is a different angle of that man.
Yes. Now, I will say this. It was a consensual lift.
Okay, he knew.
He knew he asked for it, actually.
Okay, gotcha, sure.
Listen, with a body like that, yeah. He was asking for it.
Right.
So on those margaritas that I mentioned, I felt compelled, and this is I've had a history of this. I like to pick up grown men.
Yeah.
And I mean it's physically.
Nice, it's nice as we mature to know what we like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't know if this has to do with Trump's election or what, but I have been known to pick up gentlemen off the ground.
However, yes. We need to work through it.
Yes.
We were talking backstage. We have very similar age boys. Yours are a little older, 3 and 5.
Yes.
Are they friends?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so now they are, and that's been wonderful and amazing to see. But our oldest, when our youngest was born and just kind of sitting there in a baby Bjorn and not doing anything and just like a pile of neurons, you know, Paul and I would talk to him and, you know, ooh and ah over his every move. And Gus, our oldest, would just walk by the kitchen and go, he doesn't talk. He doesn't walk. Just like, I don't know why you both are getting so worked up about this
thing. I love the updates from the older son.
Like, FYI, this guy doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
People.
He is a dud. Why are you falling for this dud?
Yes. Do you see what I'm up to? I'm a person.
You and your husband, Paul Scheer, are very funny people. Obviously, are your kids, do you see a sense of humor developing in them?
So I do. With our oldest, I see a Kaufman-esque kind of alternative.
Oh, he's alt comedy?
He really is alt comedy. So he started this thing where if we are out, only when we're out in public, when he has a full audience, he will say to me, full voice, are you my mom?
Great.
And it's so hard because any reaction I have to that is wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know,
sure.
Like, nothing gets me out of that moment. Like, anger is uncomfortable for people to see and concerning. Uh-huh. If I ignore it, I see people, like, what is happening there?
Yeah, you can't say just no. You can't throw it back at them.
I certainly can't try to heighten the bitch.
Right. This is a very funny show that I can't believe 6 seasons. That's really amazing.
I know.
And among the many legends. I mean, some legends. Sam Waterston.
Really?
Martin Sheen, Lily Tomlin,
Joan
and Jane
Dan
Fonda.
Rayfield.
Yeah,
oh.
Joan Dan Rayfield. Well, if they were here, I would have said
okay,
you.
Good.
Yeah. Jane Fonda, an activist to this day, been doing
She's
it a very
amazing.
Long time. And you have gone to some protests with her?
Yes, I just recently went to her Fire Drill Friday in D.C., which has been an unbelievable movement. She's really started. She was inspired by Greta, and every Friday they're showing up in D.C. and demanding a Green New Deal, amongst other things. And I joined her twice. And her last protest in D.C. was this past Friday, and I brought my son, Gus, who definitely asked if I was his mom over and over and why I was there and who I was to him. But right before I took him on stage, because we were going to introduce someone in the rally, he turned to me and I had prepped him the whole day. We're going to be outside. You have to use the bathroom. I mean, I took him to a bathroom, Seth, so many times.
Yeah.
So many times. Nothing came out. And then right before we were about to go on stage, he turns to me and goes, I have to use the potty. And I have never spoken to a child, a person really, the way I spoke to him.
Really?
A sound came from my, it was like a primal, I was like, you will wait. It was a voice I had never heard.
Did it work? Did he wait?
It did, yeah.
It's good. Every now and then a kid, if you have to save a voice, you have to have a voice that you only break in front of emergencies.
Yeah. I had never heard it either.
Yeah.
I scared myself.
Well, that's good. And thank you very much. And I'm sure that the way you said it here, you didn't give us the full voice. That would just terrify everybody.
I would be escorted off the stage.
Hey, thank you so much for being here. It's such a delight to see you. June Diane Raphael, everybody. Grace and Frankie currently streaming on Netflix. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm backstage here with June Diane Raphael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this.
That was so much fun. I'm so glad to be here. Now I'm cozy and warm.
Now
and
you have your coat on because our studio is freezing.
It was really cold out there.
I don't think people realize how cold it is out there.
I mean, I've always heard that, you know, comedy plays better when people are cold and not sleepy and awake. I mean, isn't that the whole psychology behind it? Like Letterman kept his stages really, really cold because he believed that people were just more alert and awake and ready to laugh.
I thought it was they didn't want anyone to seem like they were sweating because the lights are so strong.
And maybe it's that too.
It could be both. It's probably both.
Listen, two things can always be true.
That's true. So we didn't get to talk about the project that you started after the election 2016 on the show, but could you tell us a little bit about it?
I'd love to. So after Trump's election, I'm wondering if we'll always just say the election as though there will never be another one in our life.
We might.
And it would be reasonable. After Trump's election, I had a very young baby. I had a four-month-old, and at that point, I guess a two-and-a-half-year-old, and I was just feeling like, God, I'm either going to work and apologizing for having small children, or when I'm with my small children, I feel like I'm apologizing to them for going to work. And I felt so torn in both areas. And so I started a workspace in LA called the Jane Club, and we are a co-working space, and we offer on-site childcare. So we have a full childcare program that's separate. So you can go take a music class with your infant or toddler and then come back and take a conference call in a beautiful setting that's super supportive. And we also do blowouts and nails and car washes and sort of all the things. So yeah, we opened a year ago this March, and it's been pretty incredible.
I heard you moved to a bigger space.
We did.
Already because the demand for being a part of it was so high.
Yes. I mean, so many. I wish I had it when I first became a mom, because so many of our Janes are new moms, and it's really been, I think, such a beautiful way to transition back into the paying workforce. I mean, I don't believe that even in the term working mother, because I'm like, well, mothers who don't get paid and stay at home with their children are doing the harder job. By the way. Like, I go to set and I'm like, oh, now I'm on vacation. Being at home is 100% harder for me. But yeah, the whole idea is creating an entire infrastructure of support around women so that they can pursue their dreams, even if that means they are coming and are full-time, you know, mothers and doing the work of caretaking. They can still come with their kids and just sit and read a book or educate themselves on something. We do tons of programming that's super enriching and educational. And it's been pretty magical.
And some of the programming with, you know, activism that you've been involved with, Jane Fonda and other, but you also have had you had female presidential candidates come and you talk about, you know, the importance of being involved in your own civil liberty. And
yes, we do tons of educational events, from racial identity workshops where we do racial affinity workshops where people are able to really explore their identity and in a safe, structured environment that's facilitated and really think about it. And we have book clubs. We do Spanish classes. There's just tons of opportunities to engage. And we do, I mean, today is Martin Luther King Day, so we are open and doing not a day off, but a day on of service activities, both for our Janes and their children.
That's great.
So yeah, it's really an amazing community space.
So when are you going to open in New York?
I know, we need to. So we're building and growing and have tons of plans. So hopefully in the next couple of years.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations
on
that.
Thank you so much.
And on the show, and please come back.
I absolutely will. It's been a beautiful snack spread. So
we'll come back for that if nothing else.
If anything else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.